Hello, Kenneth Vanderhorst here. Welcome to Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist. Each week, I chat with a guest about which songs they would have on their playlist if they were to spend a season in a remote cabin here in the Bulkley Valley. I hope you enjoy today's show on CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9. This station broadcasts from unceded Kasia territory of the Ginnamdon Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Again, and welcome to Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist here at CICK Radio. I'm your host, Kenneth Vanderhorst, and this week my guest is Gladys Attrill. With increasing complexity and greater scrutiny in the world of public leadership, Gladys serves our valley with an impressive level of commitment. First elected in 2014, she served for 6 years as a councillor for the town of Smithers before becoming mayor in 2020. In spite of a series of challenges with no small impact on our valley, the pandemic, homelessness, affordable and availability of childcare, food insecurity, overdose crisis, and wildfire response, Gladys not only continues serving with poise and effectiveness as mayor, but brings those qualities to bear in other roles as a director to each of BC Transit, the Northern Development Initiative Trust, and the Regional District of Bulkley-Nechako. A lifelong Smitherine, she loves gardening and traveling, and canoeing and cycling when time allows. She previously worked in teaching and guiding wilderness-based trips, passions undoubtedly born out of a love for the outdoors that I trust will help her thrive with her 7 songs in a season of cabin isolation. Welcome, Gladys, to Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist.
Thanks, Ken, and thanks for that very generous introduction. It brought a smile to my face, for sure.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. You bring a smile and a thoughtfulness to a lot of us here in the Valley with the roles that you play, and I look forward to hearing you think out loud a bit about that later in our show here. But first, tell us about the role of music in your life.
Well, I've got to say, it's probably not as significant as it is to many. It's not something I think about actively, but, you know, I have been known, when alone, to dance, perhaps not perfectly, to music that I love, and to find myself singing to myself when I'm out in the yard or doing things or on my bike. I have my favorites. So it's more of a background affection for me than something overt.
Okay. And it sounds like you're just fine with a bit of a solo approach to music, dancing alone, listening to it alone. That will suit well for the season of isolation that you're going to have. We're sending you to a remote cabin somewhere here in the Bulkley Valley with very limited power and no internet. So you only get 7 songs to take on a rudimentary device. Tell us, what's your first song going to be?
Well, this won't be a surprise to people that know me. I love Mark Perry. I mean, I grew up here. Mark grew up here, so I've been listening to his music since I was a teenager. More recently, the one that just resonates with me because it speaks to the valley and love of where we are, and it's This Town.
Michael Ernie moved in from Winnipeg 70 years ago. He said, sometimes you gotta take a chance in life, hey. You never know. Wrote a letter to his sister in Toronto and said everything is gonna be just fine. Packed everything he owned and headed west on the Grand Trunk Railroad line. And for days he rode the winding tracks up and down till the conductor stared at some mud and tents and said, here's your town now. This town will be built on the backs of the people who live here. This town will be built on the backs of the people who die here. This town, they just disappear, or this town could live on. From the open ditches and the wooden sidewalks and the first big hotel, another stranger off the train, another story to tell, and a brand new railway station at the end of the street. Every town needed an important place for people to meet. And Ernie says, two boys off the fight, Adolf Hitler. And all he could think to say was, hurry back home now. This town will be built on the backs of the people who live here. This town will be built on the backs of the people who die here. This town will never disappear. Hey, this town will live on. There's no talk of unlimited timber around here anymore. and it's harder to find a good paying job than it ever was before. But the right people came and the right people stayed, and in the hard times they could not be swayed. And I'm still quoting Ernest, though he's buried on the hill. So many things can happen if you only have the will. Now this town will be built on the backs of the people who live here. This town will be built on the backs of the people who die here. This town will never disappear. Hey, this town will live on. Yeah, this town will be built on the backs of the people who live here. This town will be built on the backs of the people who die here. This town will never disappear. Hey, this town will live on. You know, the town is the people and the people of the town. Hey, the town is the people and the people of the town. Hey, the town is the people and the people of the town. Hey, the town is the people and the people of the town.
This town by local Smithereen, Mark Perry, Gladys's first choice. You weren't born here, but tell us about growing up here.
Yes, I wasn't born here. I was actually born in Prince George, but only there for a very small number of days, and otherwise have been here in the valley in Smithers. It's my home. It was good growing up here. You know, I think as we age, we perhaps have more nostalgia on what childhood was like, but, you know, pre-devices. I heard someone the other day describe their kids as free-range kids, and I think we were all free-range kids when I was little. Okay. You know, you could go do what you wanted, and you had to show up on time, you know, for lunches or dinners, but there was a lot of freedom in being a child in the valley, you know, able to roam a little bit with friends. So I think it was a really nice childhood, lots of fun, that freedom, you know, that many of us want to have, but being able to just walk away from the house and walk up the mountain. There was a little outcrop there that I used to like reading at, and I could just walk away after school and go read my book for a couple of hours before I came home for supper. So it was a nice, it was a really nice place to grow up, and it's still a lovely place to grow up.
Yeah, you appreciate living here, but in that time, you've seen probably some significant changes. And as one who's always been here, a lifelonger, what changes maybe stand out to you about the valley?
Well, I think some, you know, if I think just about the town of Smithers, some of it would be the aesthetic over the last now. I mean, it's, you know, probably 40 years where things have changed downtown for the better, I think. You know, it's a very pretty downtown set in a pretty natural environment. So we're very lucky there. I think in recent years, and I have trouble really when I say recent years knowing exactly what I mean, but of course, more people coming from different places adds a vibrancy to the community, adds some, you know, the benefit of multi-ethnicity, of having different cultures. You know, it comes with challenges, but it comes with lots of pluses as we become a bit more rounded and diverse. It's some, you know, diversity is a word that I've really liked for this community. I think it's, you know, very entrepreneurial. There's an independent spirit, an ability to do things that I think makes it a really good place to be. So there have been challenges and changes, but on balance, I feel like we're still at a really good place and it's a good community to live in.
Well, I look forward to hearing some more perspectives from you on these things, in large part because of the role that you play in leadership in our valley. But before we get there, let's go to your second song. And which one is that?
It is, I think we're coming up to Jenny Lester, The River, Mother Nature and Me. And that song just warms my heart. It reminds me of things that I did, you know, in a past career. And there's something about the therapy of water and looking at the sky and hearing a beautiful voice, and it all just sums up in that song for me.
There's a place in the north where you still see the moonshine when the morning sun is high. It's a place Mother Nature takes all her children. None are more willing than I. Sitting on rocks down by the river, feeling the powers that be. You can howl at the moon, wave the deep water. dream of the river. It's a feeling that I long to keep. Sitting on rocks down by the river, feeling the powers that be. You can howl at the moon, wave the deep water. There's no place your heart needs healing, go down to the river and quietly sit on the shore. You'll feel her run through you to mend and renew you. You'll feel life like never.
What a sweet song. The River, Mother Nature, and Me by local Jenny Lester lives in Driftwood on the Babine side of our valley. Tell us a little bit more about family life. You've got deep roots in this valley.
I do have deep roots. On my dad's side, my grandparents came to the valley in the 20s and homesteaded sort of in what we know as like Seton area now.
Okay, whereabouts is that? That's a railway stop along the way somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, probably now people would most notice the wood mill that's there. Seton Wood Products is very close.
Oh, okay.
And just prior to that, en route to Hazleton, there's an old barn and a small little home that has an attachment, but the small part of the home was my grandparents' house from the 20s, and their children lived there and grew up there before they moved on. So that was the actual property in the old days. And my mom actually came to the valley in 48, and completely different story, originally from Poland, caught up in the Second World War, and was a person without a country because of what happened to Poland post-Second World War, and came here today. We would call her a refugee. In those days, it was a DP, or a dispossessed person.
Right.
So she came with some other Polish women, some young women. Poland was a Catholic country, and the hospital was a Catholic hospital. And that was the connection, to the best of my memory, of how she and some other young Polish women ended up in Smithers.
Okay. And she started a new life here. How much of a window did she give you to her old life in Poland?
It was very mixed. So the parts of her life that were happy, she shared. And the parts of her life that weren't happy were very minimalistic. I don't think that's uncommon when, you know, I've spoken to other people who had, you know, tragic war stories. They tend not to share those. So she spoke a lot of her life in Poland growing up, the happiness in her hometown, which was Krakow, and the mountains to the south. Lots of stories about that, but not so much about the war years.
How did your mom and dad meet?
My mom was working at the hospital, and my dad and his brother were hired on to do maintenance at the hospital.
And you are married?
I have a partner now. I'm not married, but we've had a relationship for quite a long time.
Okay. And where is he from?
Here and other parts of British Columbia. So more travel within BC than me. We knew each other when we were younger and then got together later in life. So.
And for the two of you here in the Valley, what do you appreciate most?
Well, I think there's just an appreciation of feeling very lucky. You know, most things that we want to do, I mean, except for, you know, more distant travel, but there's not much in a day-to-day that we can't do right here. So, you know, often you might dream about, well, let's, this would be an amazing thing to do, and you realize, well, the mountains are like right there, or, you know, the ski hills right there, or the lakes or the rivers are right there. A good restaurant's not very far, so it's fun to dream far and experience close. And, you know, sometimes we do try to travel further distances, but 90% of what we do is right here. And I think it's that feeling of being very lucky and having access. You know, you can make a decision to do something and often within 20 minutes be doing it. And so that's, I think we both feel very fortunate.
She is your third selection.
Well, it's Alex Cuba. You know, it's interesting to think about Alex here in the Valley and the fact that, you know, I have very limited Spanish and yet his music can be so moving. His voice, you know, to me, I sort of think of it like honey, like there's something that's smooth and enveloping and filled with so much emotion. But the song that I chose is Sarah, which is an homage to his wife, the lovely Sarah, who grew up here. And in some ways, the previous songs, I think, are also a bit of an homage to where we live. And so I really liked the fact that when Alex said he, you know, he finally had permission to write and record and share a love song for Sarah, that he was able to do that. And it just really touched me.
Basta con mirar tus ojos y sentir tu compañía para que a mí se me olvide los misterios de la vida. Basta con ganarme un beso del baúl de tus deseos para que la noche traiga lo más grande en un te quiero. Porque en ti encuentro todo lo que soñé, en nada me equivoqué. Sara, tú no me agradezcas nada, que todo, todo te lo debo, Sara. Tu sonrisa y tu mirada son mi alegría y mi consuelo, Sara. ¿Qué sería de mi vida de haberme yo perdido el placer de estar contigo en este amor que nos unió? Imagino de otra forma, ni un minuto de mis días sin saber que yo te tengo, que me das tu simpatía. No me importa que termine el valor de economía. No conozco más riqueza que saber que tú eres mía. Porque en ti encuentro todo lo que soñé, nada me equivoqué. Sara, tú no me agradezcas nada, que todo, todo te lo debo, Sara. Tu sonrisa y tu mirada son mi alegría y mi consuelo, Sara. ¿Qué sería de mi vida de haberme yo perdido el placer de estar contigo en este amor? Amor, que de verdad se deja ir sin escondernos nada. Felicidad tiene el dolor, tu cara enamorada. Mejor tal vez no pudo ser. Sara, tú no me agradezcas nada, que todo, todo te lo debo, Sara. Tu sonrisa y tu mirada son mi alegría y mi consuelo, Sara. ¿Qué sería de mi vida de haberme yo perdido el placer de estar contigo en este amor? Amor que nos unió.
Alex Cuba's Sarah, tribute to his wife, and what an amazing song. Well, before we get to further conversation and more songs, first, a shout out to one of our sponsors. And this week, I'm going to emphasize and highlight the BV Concert Association. That's one of the bronze sponsors here at CICK Radio. It's amazing when a nonprofit seeks to be a sponsor to another nonprofit. So we at CICK, we really appreciate you folks at the BV Concert Association and trust too that by the work that you're doing in the Valley, you get the support you need as you bless us with amazing music. Well, Gladys, let's talk now a bit about your role in leadership. I mentioned in the introduction you wear a number of hats. How do you keep track of all of that and keep it differentiated, because they obviously cross over?
Well, sometimes it's a bit confusing. I won't try to hide that. There are days when it's like, oh boy, my phrase at the end of the day sometimes is like, that was a lot of subjects for one day. Mm. But you know, at the end of the day, things do relate. I would have to say, first and foremost, I'm grounded in this community and everything stems from that. So whether it's work that I've done in tourism, you know, finally taking a stab at running for council, it's all grounded in love of this place. And so then, you know, whether it's stepping out to the regional district or the North Central Local Government Association or all those other things, they all stem from here. And so I think that's the strength giving. And I just have to figure out the confusion sometimes at the end of the day. And mostly it's okay. You know, I'm not alone doing things. And it's a confusing world for a lot of people. And so we all have colleagues. And I wasn't long into the role of mayor when I started getting phone calls from other mayors. They know you're new. Mm. And people pay attention to each other. So I would get a call out of the blue from someone just going, hey, I heard about that thing. Are you okay? And so really lovely. And so the more time you're in the role, the more you get your head up and you're trying to look out for your colleagues as well. And just, you know, there's a few networks where we can get together, from Facebook pages to phones to text messages to, you know, virtual meetings where we get together and just go like, hey, how's it going? So there's a lot of support as well. A lot of us face similar challenges. And so that's really lovely. And that definitely helps.
One of the things I've heard from leaders is that you go into it with a certain sense of a mandate, a certain sense of expectation and hopes for what you can do, but that often the agenda gets set for you. As you came into your role as councillor and then as mayor, what maybe took you by surprise or wasn't something that you anticipated that has become a big part of the role?
Well, I think probably the first thing that was a surprise, and other people who were on council and they've been there for a longer time told me, but you know, optimism is an amazing thing. And I was pretty sure some big ideas that I had were actually going to happen. And I spent a lot of energy in the first couple of years, like just pretty sure we're going to get through this. And I've got to say, I've been on council for 10 years and my big dream thing hasn't happened. So I've learned about the reality of, yeah, you know, there's a job to do. The town has things in process. And when you join council, the bucket doesn't get emptied and you don't start over. There's actually things that are underway and projects take years. And so that's the learning. It's about patience. It's about not upsetting the apple cart. It's about making sure that you're grounded and you trust your colleagues and you trust your staff. And you have to have a little bit of patience, which can be very frustrating, but that's the reality. So I've probably learned a little bit more about the reality, patience, and the fact that you can be derailed from your plans for all kinds of reasons. Other orders of government may also have priorities and funding comes for their priorities. So you might want to do A, but the funding's for B and C. Well, you're going to jump on. And then, of course, you mentioned earlier, there's a pandemic, you know, there's wildfires. There are things that are so out of your control and you better be paying attention to them when they happen. So you have to be ready for, you know, when you wake up in the morning, maybe it's something else you're going to be doing today. And you're going to have a little flexibility and a little agility, you know, respect for those around you and a little humor from time to time doesn't hurt.
One of the things I think in our Bulkley Valley that's become more prominent, more noticeable, and people have a particular take and a perception of it is the dilemma we're facing with a number of people without homes. People have their perceptions and their takes, but sometimes we don't have a full perspective on things. And as mayor, what's something that you would like people to know about that maybe isn't always on the tip of the tongue?
Probably the main thing is trying not to assume everyone is the same. There's no doubt that the dilemma we face with the tent encampment, and there's a few other spots in town too where people are, you know, taking refuge or have built like mini places to be, that it's not all for the same reasons. Somehow we have to deal with that nuance of difference, and it can be super challenging. I mean, I am I'm probably as tired as anyone at not being able to figure our way through this. I just think collectively we have to do better than what we're doing. You know, there are people who live unhoused or in poor housing because they're poor. I think collectively we ought to be able to figure that out. There are people who have mental health and addictions issues, and we should be able to do better for that as well. Stemming from that are some of the behaviors that have affected people really badly. We've met many times with the downtown businesses, and I can't imagine how they deal with the things they deal with day after day. We've collectively built a bit of a box for ourselves where we don't have a way for dealing with criminal behavior appropriately. We don't have places for people who are facing mental health and addictions. There's not the right places. It just seems to be a complete like ball of yarn right now. And the frustration is really high. So the one thing would be try not to see them all the same. When you see individuals, we don't know their story. And some of them are just poor. And some of them have health issues that are extraordinary. And yet at the same time, I think it is absolutely reasonable to demand of us and we to demand of the province and the federal government to step up. This is not just a Smithers problem. It's an everywhere problem. And we're going to have to do better than what we're doing now. How we push all those rocks uphill, I don't know. I mean, I work on it almost every day. And I've got to say, we haven't had a lot of success. So I appreciate that people are frustrated. I have a lot of sympathy for some of the folks that are living really hard lives. And at the same time, I have sympathy for people who have been assaulted, who have been the victims of crime. It's very complex. It is obviously not easy to solve, or we'd have done it already. And somehow we just still have to figure out how to protect ourselves, our homes, and our businesses, and not lose all compassion. Because we are poorer if we can't maintain a thread of that. So I'm not sure if that actually answers where you're going, but it's where I try to stay every day when I'm hearing people or when I see, and I see the encampment every day. So I don't know how you keep all that on balance, but I think it's what we have to do in order to pick out threads of this challenge to try to solve each thread, because it's complex and it's pervasive across the region and the province and truly the country and beyond. So it's going to take a lot of intelligence and a lot of dedication to, you know, finding one piece, and let's solve one piece and keep the pressure on. You know, we're going to have to do it together. So the pressure is good. And then a little, you know, sort of thoughtfulness at all time that never hurts us.
Appreciate you giving a lot of thought and care and attention to the dilemma, because it is heightened. It's clear that your heart is committed to considering it in every way and all those involved. Let's shift to some music again. We'll go to your fourth selection. Which one is that?
One of my faves. I love Jimmy Buffett. It was really hard to choose a Jimmy Buffett song because I like a lot of them, but I finally settled on Son of a Sailor.
As the son of a sailor, I went out on the sea for adventure, expanding the view of the captain and crew like a man just released from indenture. As a dreamer of dreams and a traveling man, I have chalked up many a mile, read dozens of books about heroes and crooks, and I learned much both of their style. Son of a son, son of a son, son of a sailor, son of a gun, load the last ton, one step ahead of the jailer. Now way in the near future, southeast of disorder, you can shake the hand of the mangled man as he greets you at the border. And the lady, she hails from Trinidad, island of the spices, salt for your meat and cinnamon sweet, and the rum is for all your good vices. Haul the sheet in as we ride on the wind that our forefathers harnessed before us. Hear the bells ring as the tide rigging.
and sings. It's the son of a gun of a chorus. I can't fathom, my friends. If I knew, I might toss out my anchor. So I cruise along, always searching for songs. Not a lawyer, a thief, or a banker. But son of a son, son of a son, son of a son of a sailor. Son of a gun, load the last time. One step ahead of the jailer. I'm just the son of a son, son of a son, son of a son of a sailor. The sea's in my veins, my tradition remains. I'm just glad I don't live in a trailer.
Son of a Sailor by Jimmy Buffett, who has roots in Mississippi, later Nashville. He eventually settled into Key West. But as a child, he was exposed to sailing because his grandfather, James Delaney Buffett, was a steamship captain from Newfoundland. And his father took to that profession as well and was a marine engineer and a sailor. Gladys, we were sharing a little bit earlier about some pretty heavy stuff. What is it that you do for a good time?
You know, it's really funny. It feels like some of the other things we talked about at the beginning tend to be my leisure. Like a meeting can't really be leisure, but sometimes it is. Mm-hmm. Truly, it's pretty busy, and I don't do as many leisure things as I used to. I hope I will do them again. I take a lot of refuge just in my yard. It's been really hot, and gardening is a challenge, mm-hmm. but I'm really working at it this year, trying to make that little personal part of my world better. I do take a little time to still get on my bike or to walk or a couple of times to get a canoe out and get out in some little lake somewhere, you know, just quietly. So I still manage a little bit of that, but it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. I can't say that, you know, I have lots of evenings free or lots of weekends free to just go off and do things. So I take my moments when I can. You know, I'm in this job by choice, so I have to take joy in that too.
You're okay with meetings.
It's interesting to say it that way, but I mean, I've also found friendships and, you know, you find friends in surprise locations and sometimes they are in meetings or in workshops. And I have one friend who's a counselor in Williams Lake and we just happen to be sitting beside each other in a workshop. And when within half an hour, you kind of know like this is cool. And so, yeah, not every meeting is torture. Some meetings can be fairly dry and long, but lots of times you're there because it's something you believe in and you're seeing other people demonstrating how to get through hard subjects and giving you really good examples of governance and leadership. And there are some meetings that I actually really look forward to going to because I'm going to see good people doing hard things in really good ways. And it's an amazing learning experience. And I feel richer when I'm done.
You mentioned that you enjoy traveling. What's on your travel list?
Oh boy. Well, everywhere. I'd like to go everywhere. Yeah, it's funny. This year, I'm going to go to Hawaii for the first time. I've never been to Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
So someone has, you know, asked about it. So that's coming up. That's kind of a surprise. There are places in Europe I'd love to go to. There are these images of these grand places in other parts of the world. But, you know, in some ways, those are just like, they're like dream moments. I see something, go, oh, yeah, I'd like to go there too. So there's still lots here. I would like to do that very slow journey across Canada when there is finally time to take months and to follow my nose. That's probably the biggest journey that I think really will happen when I have time to do that. And otherwise, I'm completely content to poke around northern BC and other parts of British Columbia. So everywhere seems like a silly comment, but it really is. I mean, my bucket list is about 200 deep.
You enjoy travel simply for the travel's sake, but hopefully you can find that time to get across this great country. Mm. This brings us to your fifth selection. Which one's that going to be?
Well, this one's kind of funny, and it might strike people who know me as odd, but it is Shania Twain. man, I feel like a woman. And there's something about when I hear that song, you know, perhaps as a woman, every now and then you just feel like you need like a little boost and everybody can just back off. And that song just gives me that little sense. It makes me smile and it does make me dance.
Let's go, girls. I'm feeling all right. Gonna let it all hang out. Wanna make some noise, really raise my voice. Yeah, I wanna scream and shout. No inhibitions, make no conditions. Get a little out of line. Chance to get out on the town. We don't need romance, we only wanna dance. We're gonna lay our head down. The best thing about being a woman is the prerogative to have a little fun. Oh, 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 they're totally crazy. Forget them all.
That was Shania Twain, Man, I Feel Like a Woman. Shania from Timmins, Ontario, best-selling female artist in country music history. This is the time when I ask people, what are you deeply passionate about? What would you like to see changed in our world, maybe in this part of the world?
Oh, boy. If I had a magic wand, we would learn to listen to each other a little better. And, of course, that's affected by what I do. There is nothing quite like keeping your mouth shut until you understand what the other person was saying. And if what the other person says makes you angry, perhaps you should just hold that a little while and think about it and just not react in anger So that's not all I'm passionate about, but I think that would make it a better world if we could just learn to listen to each other, try to understand the other person. You don't have to agree. You don't have to agree, but you can disagree well. Mm-hmm. And if we could do that, we could probably do a whole bunch more.
I've heard that sentiment before. I believe it was Mariska Bucker from Interior News who talked about the need to understand and to listen and to accept. And I don't think anybody would disagree with that as a profoundly helpful way for the world to become a better place. What do you think are the barriers, though, that make it harder for us to do that very thing?
Probably a whole bunch of things. Sometimes, pretty sure I'm right. That might be one thing. Maybe, have had an emotional experience prior to something and need to work through that. So probably all kinds of things get in the way of bringing our best selves forward. A little bit of understanding. I'm okay with rants. It's okay to have a rant. You just can't have a rant all the time. So allowing people to also deal with whatever is emotionally affecting them and accepting it as a moment and maybe not their full opinion. You know, it's just being a bit more human and kind, but also we have to be a bit self-aware. And, if I've had my rant and I didn't have my best moment, a little self-awareness, sometimes an apology, the way we communicate to one another is going to guide us in what we do. And so we need to be able to do that piece. I can be firm in what I believe. I can disagree with you. It'd be best if I don't shout at you. Lately I've been saying to people, if I'm shouting at you, you should really listen because probably you're going to be hit by a car. Like, I think that's when you shout at people. You don't shout at people for other stuff. And I think we've just gotten, not everyone, but, somehow this notion, being very loud, either in person or through words or through online, has become okay. And, a little good manners just goes a long way. It never goes out of style. So respecting the other person or the other group and trying to figure it out together. What could we do together? Because, boy, a little shoulder to shoulder goes a long way. So I think probably now in what I do, at council and other organizations, it's that piece about just hold your tongue, hear what they have to say, think about it if you're not sure. And what can I add to this? Because probably they want it to go well as much as I do. And we might not actually want the same thing. But when I sit at a table with people and you figure out what's important to them, it becomes basic pretty quick. People want to have a good day. They want to have a good life for their family. If they're raising kids, if they're looking after grandparents, they just kind of want it all to be okay. And we can want that for ourselves and for others. And it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be hard. But we sure as heck won't get there if we can't even talk to each other and try to sort it out together. And I do think most people can. A little respectful dialogue. Stay at home if you're not feeling good. And by that, I actually mean mentally, not physically. So I often think, too, if I'm having a really bad day and I'm pretty sure I'm not going to present well, that's a good day to take off. Like, just stay home, go do something else that day. That self-regulation, be respectful of others, bring a little kindness to the conversation. I think that helps a lot.
If I can dig a little, can you think of a particular time where maybe you experienced some of that transformation, where when you might have been inclined to speak a little more quickly or to respond or even to walk away, where when you took that moment to try to understand a little bit more, where something happened to you, where you changed?
Well, I think probably the most transformational are times when I didn't keep it together well. And, a lot of that happened younger in life, where you spoke too quickly, hurt someone's feelings. And that usually comes with the need to apologize. And again, more lately, I'm saying, I actually would like not to have to apologize. And so if I don't make those mistakes, I probably don't have to say sorry later. And so I'm trying to hold my tongue. But yeah, I've had a few embarrassing moments in my life where, you're pretty sure you're right and you enjoy the moment to tell someone so really loudly. And then, guess I wasn't right and I've got to apologize. Or I just hurt someone and it's unnecessary. So yeah, I think, I'm hoping I learn from my own mistakes and just bring a better person forward. Also, I think, if I think about our current council, I think one of the things we do is we disagree well. We don't agree on everything, but it's a respectful table. People say what they have to say. You take the vote, you win some, you lose some, and you have to move on. And that's just how it works. I don't get everything I think is the right decision. Nobody does. And I have to accept the wisdom of the table. And maybe if I'm on the losing side, the wise choice was made. And we just have to get to that, And if I really don't think so, take a breath, and then you can always advocate for what you think is right. But I'm not always right. As much as I'd love to think I am, I'm not always right, and I have to accept that.
Well, I appreciate the introspection there and the honesty in thinking through what it takes in order to make the world a better place. This brings us to your sixth song, and it's another Canadian selection.
Stan Rogers, another musician, artist, poet of Canada, and there's lots of songs, but this one, just a bit of a love song, 45 years from now.
Where the earth shows its bones of wind, broken stone, and the sea and the sky are warm. I'm caught out of time, my blood sings with wine, and I'm running naked in the sun. There's God in the trees, I'm weak in the knees, and the sky is a painful blue. I'd like to look around, but honey, all I see is you. Now the summer city lights will soften the night till you think that the air is clear. And I'm sitting with friends where 45 cents will buy another glass of beer. He's got something to say, but I'm so far away that I don't know who I'm talking to. 'Cause you just walked in the door, and honey, all I see is you. And I just want to hold you closer than I've ever held anyone before. You say you've been twice a wife and you're through with life. Oh, but honey, what the hell's it for? After 23 years, you'd think I could find a way to let you know somehow. But I want to see your smiling face 45 years from now. In the lights on stage every night, I've been reaching out to find a friend who knows all the words, sings so she's heard, and knows how all the stories end. Maybe after the show she'll ask me to go home with her for a drink or two. Now her smile lights her eyes, but honey, all I see is you. And I just wanna hold you closer than I've ever held anyone before. You say you've been twice a wife and you're through with life. Oh, but honey, what the hell's it for? After 23 years, you think I could find a way to let you know somehow. But I wanna see your smiling face 45 years from now. I just wanna hold you closer than I've ever held anyone before. You say you've been twice a wife and you're through with life. Oh, but honey, what the hell's it for? After 23 years, you'd think I could find a way to let you know somehow. But I wanna see your smiling face 45 years from now. Yes, I want to see your smiling face 45 years from now.
By Canadian Stan Rogers. Well, we're rounding the corner here, Gladys, getting to, as we head up to your last song, a couple more questions for you. What would you miss the most if you had to move away from this valley?
Oh, I think the views, like my heart's just here. There's things that just ground me every day. And, you know, I'm not sure people believe me, but it's really true. When I look at Hudson Bay Mountain, I feel this sense of place that is, it's to my toes. And then when I turn around and I look at the Babines, it's the other side of the coin. And it's just when I see them, oh, I think I'm actually tearing up. When I see them, I know where I'm from. Mm. And it's not just about the mountains. It's about what's here, the whole feeling I get in the valley. Like lots of people say, when you come down Hungry Hill, you know you're coming home. So I just feel that. So I think if I couldn't ever see those again because I had to be somewhere else, there would be a grieving that would be to my core. So I think I would just really miss that.
Well, then maybe my next question is going to be my hardest one for you today. Your cabin, we're going to situate it in the valley facing a view that you get to choose. What mountain range are you going to pick to see while you spend a season in isolation?
Yeah, that's a bit severing, I've got to say. But I think if I had to have, if I could have the view, might be very typical for a smithereen, but I would have to have the view of Hudson Bay Mountain. So in order to have that view, I think my cabin would have to be in the Babines.
Okay. All right. Well, that's almost cheating a little bit, but I think we can make that happen. You get to take a download with you, this device that has the seven songs. It's pretty rudimentary, but there is room for a download. What are you going to take along? A show, a movie, a book, a game?
Well, if I could only take one thing with me, I think I would take The Lord of the Rings.
The Lord of the Rings in book or movie form?
I think I'd take book.
Okay.
It'd have to be book.
And why that one?
Well, first of all, it's really long. So if I could only take one thing, I want a really long book. And I've read it several times, and every time I read it, there's a little bit of something new. There's the magic of the characters, the story, the world that was created, the languages. There's just something so magical about the entire story that I think if I could only have one thing, it would be The Lord of the Rings.
All right. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings is your download. Tell us now about your last song.
Well, it's funny to me, anyway, funny. You know, as you get older, you think about end of life and what am I going to do with my stuff, all that kind of stuff. And I had run around my house looking at all my stuff, thinking who I'd give it to, and realized, like, nobody's going to want my stuff. And so to the person who's the executor of my will, if I'm the last one standing, you know, I suggested, well, why don't you just have a party in my house and let my friends take whatever and you'll have less to deal with. And while you're doing that, it's this song that you got to be playing, and it is The Traveling Wilburys, End of the Line.
Well, it's all someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong. Well, it's all right, as long as you got somewhere to lay.
Somewhere down the road when somebody plays
at the end of the line,
purple haze.
Well, it's all right, even when push comes to shove. Well, it's all right, if you got someone to love. Well, it's all right, everything will work out fine. Well, it's all right, we're going to the end of the line.
Car I drive.
At the end of the line.
I'm just glad to be here, happy to feel that.
At the end of the line, of the line.
And it don't matter if you're by my side.
At the end of the line,
I'm satisfied.
Well, it's all.
Oh,
The End of the Line by the Traveling Wilburys, that British-American supergroup that was active in the late 80s. Bob Dylan, George Harrison, Jeff Lynne, Roy Orbison, and Tom Petty. They were described as perhaps the biggest supergroup of all time. Well, Gladys, that was your seventh and final song. Before I send you away to your isolated cabin for a season, you get to pick a luxury item that you're going to have with you. What do we have to make sure is going to be there with you?
Well, it is two things, and that might be cheating, but they go together. If I'm going to have my favorite book and I'm going to read long hours, I'm going to have a nice crystal glass and a good bottle of wine.
All right. Well, the glass and the wine, they obviously go together, and we'll make sure that that's a good-sized bottle and just the right kind of crystal for you. Thank you, Gladys, so much for being with us here on Canadian Cabin Fever Playlists.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist is produced by me, Kenneth Vanderhorst, with the help of the good folks here at CICK Radio. The theme song is Summer Side of Life by legendary Canadian singer-songwriter Gordon Lightfoot. Thanks, listeners, for being with us, and don't forget to enjoy the beautiful scenery and amazing people you see all around you here in the Bulkley Valley.
And if it's talked all night.